You know, it's important, isn't it, that we just make sure that we are paying attention to the Holy Spirit, you know, because God so often wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us in so many ways, so many different forms, so many different settings and scenes throughout history. God has been speaking to us, and he's been speaking a message to us. But oftentimes, we're just too busy to grasp it, to perceive it. It's important that we make sure that we are listening. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. We are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, the word says. He is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. He is the good shepherd. God speaks to us. I want to review a little bit about what we talked about last week and about the miracle of the message of Christmas. The miracle. It truly is a miracle. Think about it. Think about it. The Son of God being born of all things, a virgin. Unbelievable. You mean to tell me that you're asking me to believe this story, God? That is absolutely true.
Amen.
And because he said it in his word, we believe it. Had it not been said in his word, that would be really hard for us to swallow. Yeah? But he was born of a virgin. And it was prophesied. It was prophesied. And so the message, God speaks to us in so many different ways and so many different times and so many different seasons throughout history. He speaks through his creations, the sun and the moon and the stars and the beautiful sunrise and sunsets, and through his nature, his creation. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, right? And God has been speaking his message through visions and dreams, through angels, through symbols, natural events, supernatural events. God is constantly speaking. What is he speaking? He's speaking a message to us. And he very much so wants us to hear the message. Many variety of times, places, and means throughout history, God has been speaking to us. And why is he speaking to us? To fulfill his will and make his will known, to make himself known. He is always looking to communicate with his people, to reveal himself to mankind. What better way to do that through his very own Son? To send the message to the world, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Between God and man, there is now goodwill because there is a plan of salvation in place through Christ Jesus the Lord, that we could be washed clean and freed and forgiven our sins, that we may once again stand before the King of Kings, the Creator, the Judge of all the earth, in right standing. Pure, completely pure, because of the blood of his own Son. He's seeking to reveal who he is. Why would God constantly be trying to communicate to us? Why would he be constantly trying to reveal himself? Because he wants mankind to know and to understand who he truly is. He wants us to know his great love for us. Not love like the world has, but a sacrificial, agape, unconditional kind of love. Amen. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know his intentions for us. Have you thought about that? God has intentions for us. And in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Plans to lift you up, to encourage you, to show you love, to show you how to be forgiven." Amen. Over and over and over, throughout this year alone and throughout our lives, listen now, we have received various different messages. Some of them we receive from people. Others we receive through maybe programs and TV shows and reading material and music. Those messages are absorbed. Messages like, "You're not pretty enough." Messages like, "Dudes, where's your six-pack abs?" Yeah? "Girls, where's your hourglass shape?" Right? Messages over and over and over we've been receiving, not only this year, but all throughout our lives. Messages, good and bad. Some of us this year received the message, "You have cancer." Maybe in the past you've received that message. Some of us have received the message, "I don't love you anymore." Some of us receive the message, "Your loved one has passed away." These are all messages that change us in some way. Some of us receive the message like, "We are no longer in need of your services here at this company." Maybe some good messages, "We're going to have a baby." Wonderful message. Or the message of our wayward child is, "Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry. I want to come home." And because of these messages, in some way, shape, or form, we have been changed by them. How powerful the message can be. Yeah. Have you ever seen sometimes kings would kill the messenger because he brought bad news? Sometimes the messenger was in fear for their lives because they had to bring bad news to a king or an emperor of some sort. Their lives were in danger, and some of them lost their lives because of it. How powerful the message that is delivered. And I think of the shepherds in the word, and Luke says that, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields, watching their flocks by night. And behold, a great multitude of angels came." And the message of the Christ child being born was given to the shepherds to take and proclaim the message to all the people. To all the people. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes." Just pieces of cloth just wrapped around this baby. A very primitive, a very humble birth. Not one of royalty, not one of power and pomp and riches, but one of humility, one of love. simplicity. But this message changed the world forever. This message changed the world forever. Our God seeks to change us forever, transforming us because of the message of the babe in a manger. Like this little one over there. You guys are blessed. I'm so glad you're coming. Praise the Lord. God seeks to change us through the message of the birth of the Christ child. But it didn't end in that manger, did it? It didn't end in that stable. It didn't end there. It began there. I hear some cooing over here as well. Yeah. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. He seeks to change us through the message of love. He seeks to change us through the message of forgiveness. He seeks to change us through his message of peace. He seeks to change us through the message of salvation. Amen. Through salvation. In Romans chapter 8, would you turn there with me? It would seem odd during this Advent season. Remember, Advent comes from the word advenio, which means coming to. Right? Advent, we're coming to the birth of Christ. And during this Advent season, the weeks leading up to Christmas, where we're celebrating and learning about the importance of this great event that happened, it seems odd that we would be looking in Romans, wouldn't it? Why wouldn't we be looking to the story? Well, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. I am convinced. Talking about messages, friends, this is a message that the world needs to hear. Many people feel like they cannot be forgiven. Many people feel that because of their wickedness, that they cannot be forgiven. Well, that nullifies the need for the cross. That says that the cross is not powerful enough to cover our sins and to cleanse us and wash us of our sins. And that is lies. That is lies from the enemy himself. The power of the cross and the blood of Jesus is the center of it all. The birth of Jesus was to lead to a place of the cross and the shedding of his blood so that we could once again be in right standing with God the Father. Yeah. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing on this earth or in the heavens above or under the earth or anywhere in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Friends, if there is a message that we can speak to people, that is the message. Amen. That is the message. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Why can't we be separated from God anymore? Because Jesus came. God sent his only son to be born, to live a sinless life, and to die. To be murdered, to die a criminal's death, that we might be free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That means that who Jesus sets free, nobody else can snatch you away from God the Father. Nobody. Nobody, no thing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is a message that the world needs to hear. That is a message of healing. That is a message of healing. You know, this same God that has the power to part the sea, to crumble mountains, to cause fire to come from the heavens, this same God loves us with an intense love. Intense love. And you know what? It's a jealous love. It's a jealous love. He is not willing for us to have any other gods before him. The Ten Commandments. You remember that one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because of what I have done for you, out of my great love for you, don't you worship anybody else. Amen. Don't you worship anybody else. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. How I love the Word of God. You know, I was thinking the other day, I'm so excited to be involved in this part of the season. It's oftentimes very stressful for me. Okay? Lots of things going on, lots of different programs and meals, and I gotta eat, you know, that's important to me. You know, just all the programs and stuff like that, not only with my family and with, you know, the church and different events and what, all these things and all the Christmas baskets, all these things. And it just kind of worries me sometimes. It can cause stress for me. And I was thinking about the services that we have coming up and what I was going to speak on, right? And the Holy Spirit just welled up this excitement in me. Just an anticipation that I get to preach on this stuff. This is really special stuff. This is stuff, this is life-changing stuff right here. And I get to speak on it. I get to preach on it. I get to proclaim the message of the birth of the Son of God. I get to proclaim that. I'm excited about that. Whenever I get an opportunity to share the word, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is speaking to his creation, to all of mankind, a message of love and forgiveness. Of all the messages that we have heard this year alone, maybe this week, in the midst of it all, there is still yet another message of God's love that we need to hear. Of all the messages that we hear that are being sent to us and spoken to us, the messages that we need to hear, the life-changing message of God's love. Regardless of our behavior or response or rejection of the message, his love never fails. His love never changes. Never. You say, but you don't know all that I have done, even as a Christian. I am a believer, and yet I have still done things. Nothing is ever able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's your promise. And the devil will bring those doubts and he'll bring that guilt. But do you remember, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian, when you did such and such? And he'll just keep putting those, stabbing those things into your mind, into your heart. And you didn't want to do those things. You don't want to betray God. You don't want to let him down. You don't want to sin. And yet we still do. We still do. And he reminds us of our guilt. And in response to those very things, fiery darts, the Bible calls them in Ephesians 6. Those fiery darts, we respond with faith and scripture. For I am convinced that neither height nor depth, nor heaven, nor hell, nor this, nor that, all the ups and downs and ins and outs, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You hear that, Satan? Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not my past. I can't change any of that stuff, right? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of these things. I can't change any of that stuff, but this is the one thing I can do. Forgetting the past, the Bible says, I press on, I move forward to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ Jesus took hold of you for a reason. God has a plan for your life. You're not just wandering around this planet hoping to survive some meager sort of life. God has a plan for your life. He wants to bless you. But in order to bless you, you have to walk in obedience. He wants to place his favor upon you. But you must walk in obedience to God. You need to receive and believe in his son that he sent. And the Bible says, to them that received him, to them who believed, he gave them the right to become children of God. Amen. In the midst of it all, the message, the miracle of the message. The miracle of the message is the message itself. The message itself. The Christ has been born. The hope of mankind was born. And he came and he sent the message through his son, Emmanuel. God with us, to live his life among us, to proclaim truths of God, to live it out before our very eyes. Many different messages we receive. This message, this changes history. This message changes our lives. This message brings transformation. Do you know that if you are walking in the ways of God, you cannot help but be transformed? You know, some of these people that have been coming here for years and years and years, these godly people with such great faith, that didn't just happen like that. It happens over many years, and it happens by falling down and getting back up again. It happens by making mistakes and asking for forgiveness. It happens through lots of prayer. It happens through study. It happens from coming to church over and over and over. It happens from coming to prayer meeting over and over and over. I think of Everett and Shirley. They haven't been able to be here lately. They're not well. What faith they have. Whenever they speak, their words just teach. Did you ever notice that? There's always teaching. My dad, whatever he speaks, just teaching. That doesn't happen overnight. That happens by the Spirit of God. That happens by the Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There comes transformation. How do I get there? I want to be one of those people. I want to be a God follower. I want to be a God follower. Because that's what it is, right? A Christian, I'm a follower of Christ. I want to be that. I don't know how to be that. You put yourself in places where God is moving. You put yourself in places. You become a student of God's word. You become a student of those people. You know what? We can pick somebody. You say, well, maybe I would like to be like this person. I'd like to have their faith. I've done this before. I have had mentors, and you kind of become a student. You watch their lives, how they live their lives. You watch how they conduct themselves with other people. You watch how they conduct themselves with their family and their children. You know, I've learned a lot by those very things. Watching other people who I respect greatly live out their lives. And Paul says in the Word, whatever you have seen me doing, you do that. You copy me as I follow Christ. As I live out my life. Do what I'm doing. Yeah? And so we pattern ourselves after people of faith. Did you ever see people that, man, they know how to pray? You know? Some people, you get around them, and it's like, I don't want to pray, because they mean that's a professional prayer guy right there. You know? You get around those people, and it just flows, man. It's just flowing right off their tongues, you know? And you get around them, and it's like, Lord, it's me again. Remember me? You ever feel like that? You know? Are people that they're such gracious and so much love. There's always a smile on their face. And sometimes these people are the ones that are hurting the very worst. Or those that have so little money. But their heart is just so huge. They're always willing to give. They're always willing to help. They're always willing to come alongside of you and say, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? People like that. I want to be like those people. I want to be like those prayer warriors. How about the people that are persevering through the most difficult of circumstances, the physical pain in their bodies, and yet they persevere, yet they continue on. They continue to be here even though it takes everything they have to make it here. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. It doesn't happen overnight. You continually walk in the ways of God. And over time, there is a transformation that happens. The Bible says, be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. When we read the Word of God, it transforms us. When we take in teaching, it transforms us. When we pattern ourselves after people of faith, even in the Bible, or that we see with our own eyes, it transforms us. The message, the miracle of Christmas transforms us. And God is, it talks about in the Bible that we are like clay in the hands of a great potter. We are like clay, and if we allow ourselves, we can be molded into something that is useful and beautiful. And God is always trying to bring that out of us. I don't know if you've ever seen in person, but maybe you've seen on TV or something like that, this potter. He just starts with this lump of clay like this, you know, and sometimes it's massive, sometimes it's just tiny, but this potter, I mean, he's working this clay and he's working in the water, getting it to the right moisture, if you will, to make it moldable. And he begins to work on this clay, and sometimes he takes his clay and he picks it up and he does this. You ever feel like that? Oh, Lord, my clay is hurting. My clay is hurting today. All right. But he's the potter, and he's taking this bit of clay and he's moving it around like this, like mama needs bread sometimes, you know. And he's molding it. And pretty soon he's beginning to move this clay up and beginning to shape it. And he's pushing his fingers in it. That hurts too. He's pushing his finger, and he's pretty soon, this thing, oh, I could see what that could be. And it's the same in our lives. It's the same in our lives. He's beginning to shape us into something that is useful. That is useful. That clay, as it is right there, this lump of clay, there's not much use for it. But once it's shaped into something, well, that thing will hold some water. That thing will hold some wine. That's beautiful. That'll look beautiful up on this shelf. And God can use something that he's forming. And he makes something beautiful. And you know what? He can make something beautiful out of broken lives. He can make something so beautiful out of broken lives. He is the life fixer. He can take somebody that has been strung out on drugs. He can take somebody that has been addicted to sex. He can take somebody that has been just whatever, and you fill in the blank, and he can take somebody like that, and he can just shape them if we will allow that to happen. He can take them and shape them into something that is beautiful. Beautiful. I think off the top of my head, there are so many of you sitting right here who are like that, who God has taken and just shaped you into something that is beautiful and inspiring to me, him, yourself, just by being here, the look on your face, what God has done for you. And it inspires other people. Don't keep that lamp under a basket. As the word says, let that baby shine. Let your light shine before men, that they will glorify the Father. God is a fixer of broken lives. The message, the miracle of Christmas. Would you stand with me today? For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, able to distinguish between bone and marrow, even. The word of God changes lives. God is a life changer if we will submit ourselves to him. He will take the broken pieces of your life and he will fix them. And he'll make all the things that have happened in your life useful for him and to bring glory to him. Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. God will take all the broken stuff in your life that you have experienced, and he will bring it and he'll put it all back together into something that's beautiful, gorgeous, and powerful and useful to him. And you can affect other people's lives through what you have experienced and what God has brought you through. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful and it's supernatural. And sometimes you just can't explain it. But God. But God. He's the one. He is the miracle worker. Let's close in prayer. Everybody, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Lord. We thank you for sending your Son because you loved us so much. Even though we were still sinners, Christ, you died for us, Lord, because you loved us that much. right now, Heavenly Father, we receive what you did, and we believe on your name that you came and you lived and you died on a cross to save us from our sin. You are the Savior. No one else could have done that. And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your Son the greatest gift that could ever be given. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive it and we believe it today. And the Bible says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, we call upon you today. Just call out with your voices. We call on you today. Jesus, Jesus, save us. Save us from our sin. Forgive us. Say it with your mouth. Forgive us for our sin. Wash us clean, O Lord. And help us to proclaim the miracle of the message. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name.